This is a reading this morning. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from your heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much. Shall I pray for God's help as we think about our theme of the cross this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. Father, we ask that your Spirit would come and teach us, that we might learn more wonderful truths about who you are as we understand the cross more deeply. That your Spirit speak to us through your word for your glory. Amen. Well, here at St. Matthew's, over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be giving four talks about the cross. Now, of course, the cross is the symbol of the Christian faith. Christians have it as necklaces. It is the symbols that we have in churches. We even build buildings in the shape of the cross. Think about this one. What shape is it? It is the shape of a cross. When we have school children to visit sometimes, I often give them the challenge of saying, oh, how many crosses can you find in the building? And to be honest, they can find more than I could ever count, really. It is the absolute center and heart of the Christian faith. I'd like to suggest, however, that actually the cross is a very strange thing. I've just put up on the screen a guillotine, an electric chair, and where people are shot. They're all forms of execution. The cross is a Roman form of execution. The cross is how the Romans kill people. And yet, that cross has become the symbol of the Christian faith. It would be very strange if I started wandering around with a little guillotine round my neck, or I got a kind of syringe for a lethal injection and made it into the shape of a building. But that's what we've done. For Christians around the world, this form of execution has become our hope. Here's a quote. There's a historian called Tom Holland who wrote a book, Dominion, in 2019. I just think it's fascinating. He tweeted this. It's a measure of how desensitized by 2,000 years of cross-based iconography we have become that we fail to recognize the sheer weirdness of this. Let's be honest. It's weird. Why would a group of people want to have a form of execution as a symbol of everything they believe? For those of you regular churchgoers, we sing songs like, "When I survey the wondrous cross," or that old hymn, "I'll cherish the old rugged cross." It's strange, let's be honest. If you were a Roman and you'd built your buildings in the shape of a cross, or worn a necklace of a cross, that would be weird. Why? My hope and prayer over the next 4 weeks is we can begin to understand why is the cross so central to the Christian faith. So as we prepare for Good Friday and Easter Sunday and remember what Christ has done, we can understand what's going on. An early church leader, the Apostle Paul, wrote in the Bible this: "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's what the Apostle Paul wrote when he went to a place called Corinth. Corinth was an unbelieving city living for its own ways with its own gods. And he said, "I turned up and I sought to know nothing but the cross." It'd be my hope and prayer that we as a church know nothing but the cross. So here's what the plan over the next 4 weeks. I want to explore the cross through four themes: redemption, justification, adoption, and reconciliation. I think all four words make sense at the cross. We're going to start with redemption this week. We're going to go to justification next week. Then we're going to adoption and then reconciliation. And they all build together. So let's start with this idea of redemption. Now, when the Bible authors use the word redemption, they have in mind slavery. Now, I think the Bible's clear, slavery is an abhorrent practice, but it was quite normal in the Roman era. Here's a little picture I poached off Google Images of slaves in the Roman era. They were bought and sold. And if you're a slave, the only way you could get your freedom was if somebody paid a ransom price. So in other words, freedom could be bought by money. So I could buy a slave and set them free, but I need to pay the owner with gold or silver. So slaves can only be set free by payment of a ransom price. And in the Bible, one of the themes is that Jesus, when he dies on the cross, pays a ransom price to set us free. You might be thinking, how does that work? Well, here's my attempt in the next few moments to explain it. Here's the first thing. The Bible says that humans are slaves to sin and an empty way of life. In that reading that Anne just read to us, the Apostle Peter wrote, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors." In other words, the Bible says that when we live without reference to God, we're in an empty way of life. Our life doesn't have any meaning. And I think actually, if you think about the natural consequences of atheism, that's where you get. Let's be honest. If you're a Darwinian evolutionist, what are we? Bits of molecules clacking around that one day die. Life has no meaning, no purpose. As Dawkins himself has admitted, DNA neither knows nor cares, it just is. And we dance to the tune of its music. Jesus himself picks up the same theme. Jesus says in one of the Gospels, Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." See, not only are we slaves to this empty way of life, we're slaves to a pattern of life that moves us away from the one who made us. The Bible says that we're to love God and love others. What is sin? Sin is where we push God out and don't live for other people. Sin includes our actions and our thoughts. And the Bible says none of us are perfect. We're all sinners. And however hard we try, we're slaves to it. We cannot get out of this way that makes us move further and further away from God. And the Bible says, if we look at the world today, I don't know how you, I picked up the news this morning. I don't know what you're thinking about what's going on around the world. The Bible says that the cause of this problem is sin. It's humans pushing God out, living for themselves, and what a mess we get in. Whether it's war or whether it's climate change. All of them are consequences, ultimately, of sin. And the problem about humans is we're slaves to it. We get sucked in and we cannot get out. The Bible says we're slaves to sin and an empty way of life. Maybe you need a bit more persuading. If you were here at Christmas, you'd have seen me show these stats before. There was a survey done last July. General survey in the population here. Which of the following, if any, do you feel is missing from your life? This is what the survey said. Purpose, 33%. Freedom, 27%. What are the two things people are missing? Number one, they're saying, I'm lacking purpose in my life. The Bible says that's because you're slaves to an empty way of life. I'm lacking freedom. That's because you're slaves to sin. The stats for 80 to 24s in that survey are fascinating. Look, they jump round. What are 80 to 24-year-olds apparently looking for? The biggest thing they need is freedom, 41%, and purpose, 39%. 18 to 24s, they've got more freedom to be the people they want to be and live the way they want to live than at any point in history in this country. And yet, what are they crying out for? Freedom and purpose. The Bible says that Jesus has an answer. The Bible explains that longing because the God we're made for wants to set us free and wants to give us purpose. And the problem is we're slaves to sin. So how does the cross fit in? Here's my next point. Jesus died to set us free. I've got a Bible verse here. Jesus himself. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus talking about himself, did not come to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to pay a price to set us free. Jesus again. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. In other words, Jesus has come to pay a price, to set us free, to help us be in the family. You know, I mentioned adoption earlier. Well, we're going to come back to that. Jesus forgives us our mistake. We'll think about that next time. He's going to set us free to be in his family. Now, you might say, how does the cross, how does Jesus' death do it? We're going to develop this next week. Let me tell you in part this. The Bible says that when we sin, when we're slaves to sin, there's a penalty. We face God's wrath, and the consequences are his judgment. But Jesus dies, takes the penalty for sin. He lives the perfect life we couldn't live. He dies the death we deserve, and we can therefore be set free. More next week. And that brings about our adoption. But how is this freedom bought? Well, that's where our passage goes back to. This is what it says in our text. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. The Bible says that we are set free from those addictions that grasp us, set free from the consequences of sin, set free to be the people God made us to be, set free to know God and enjoy a relationship with him forever. That's why Jesus came. And how does he buy us at this freedom? Through his death. It is through the blood of Jesus, his death on the cross, that the price is paid and we could be set free. Now, if you're a Christian here today or you've read your Bible, there's a lot of depth in those words. The Apostle Peter, when writing it, says, we're not redeemed with perishable things such as silver or gold. It's a reminder we can't on our own buy our way out of this slavery. We need someone to do it for us. If you're a slave in Rome, you needed someone to buy your freedom. And Jesus does it, but the price is very costly. It is the blood of Jesus. The passage describes him as a lamb without blemish or defect. That's Old Testament language. Some of you know the story of Moses. The people, they were slaves in Egypt, slaves under a Pharaoh, and God comes and he redeems them and he sets them free and takes them to the promised land. If you're in Jewish thinking, that was done as the Passover lamb. The perfect lamb was slain, its blood was put above the door frame. And therefore God's judgment passed over and the people were set free. In the Old Testament too, if you wanted to meet with God, then you went to a temple and you went before an altar and you offered a perfect sacrifice. And the animal must be without blemish or defect. But all those Old Testament sacrifices were pointing forward to the sacrifice when Jesus himself died on the cross for us, the perfect sacrifice so that we might know God and be with him forever. And that is what redemption is all about. That is why the cross is central to our beliefs as Christians, because Jesus came to set us free. To set us free from a life without purpose, an empty way of life, to set us free from sin and its penalty, to be in the family, to be forgiven, and be with God forever. That is the Christian hope. That is the hope we've baptized Luke and Joe into today. As we close, how would a slave have felt if someone had bought their freedom? I'm no doubt they'd have been delighted. Joy, thankfulness, humility. It would have been a life-transforming moment. It's my firm conviction. Once we understand what Jesus has done for us, that is life-transforming. Because it gives us the freedom to know God, the freedom to be the people God made us to be, and the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and transform and change us. And the rightful response is honor, praise, and gratitude. I want to close. There we are. That's a slave. How would they feel? Set free. Last quote. This is the end of time. This is a picture of the Bible at the end of history. And this is what the Apostle John writes. You, Jesus, are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. God is gathering people from every tribe and language and people and nation. Luke and Joe, you've joined that great Christian family. You are part of the kingdom of God. Actually, the Bible says you're priests to serve God forever. So we're thrilled to welcome you to part of the life of the church here. And as we seek to discern by the Holy Spirit what God is calling you to do as you seek to serve him in the years ahead. Lastly, if you're here today and you're thinking, what is this all about? What is this all about? Well, firstly, you can come back and hear more of these words. What is justification? That's next week. What is adoption, reconciliation? 11 o'clock, you're welcome to come back any Sunday. We also do a course called 321, which is just a chance, 4 weeks. Both Luke and Joe have done it. I asked them how they found it. It's a chance to explore who Jesus is and why he came. You can do it online. You don't even have to do it with me. You can actually just log on to their website and do it. But if you'd like to do it with someone else, I'd love to do it with you. Just come and chat to me at the end. But as we close, I want to pray for all of us that we might know that redemption more deeply, more truly. I'm going to pray for Luke and for Joe as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross of our Lord Jesus. Thank you that he died to set us free. Thank you that in him we are forgiven. The price has been paid. We've been redeemed from an empty way of life, that we're no longer slaves to sin and its penalty. Instead, we have the hope and glory that Jesus brings. Father, we pray this might be true for Luke and for Joe. May your Spirit make it true for them very deeply and for us as a church, that this cross might be everything to us. Amen. We're going to sing again in a moment. Before we do that, I've got just a little gift to give to Luke and to Joe. People often say to me, how do we know God? Well, we know God in the Bible. But read the Bible is quite hard. So we've got some books for you to hopefully help you to better read the Bible and meet Jesus, of whom it's all about. So can I invite you to come up the front? I'm going to give these to you. There you go. We'll give them a round of applause.